COVID-19 is taking so much of our attention right now, but in the midst of all of this, we do need to start thinking about wildfire season and cheatgrass in particular. It is a pesky invasive weed that thrives in the soil after a wildfire. It's also extremely flammable, causing a dangerous cycle. Cheatgrass has been studied here and there across the country, but it wasn't until a recent Boise State University research project compiled all the data that scientists really started to understand the impact of cheatgrass on wildfire patterns. Matt Williamson is an assistant professor of human environmental systems at Boise State University, and he was a key part of this project, and he is joining us today to talk more about that. Good to have you with us, Matt.
Thanks, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
All right. I know this is a huge topic, but can you explain quickly the basic ecology of cheatgrass and why it's so dangerous to fire-prone areas like Idaho?
Sure. So cheatgrass is a short-lived, small, fast-growing grass that has slowly taken over most of the Great Basin in Nevada and southern Idaho, eastern Oregon. And the real problem is sort of twofold. On the one hand, this super fine grass is highly flammable. So during fire seasons, you get fires that ignite really easily and spread really quickly kind of wipe out most of the native vegetation for, you know, a year or two afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then once you've burned that landscape, cheatgrass tends to be the first thing to come back. And so it slowly starts to shift the balance from native plants like sagebrush to something that is much more weed dominated. And so once cheatgrass starts to do that, then the system becomes more flammable. It burns again, cheatgrass comes back, burns again, and pretty soon you've lost the bulk of natural vegetation there. Mm. And so far, in probably the last 30 or 40 years of trying to figure out how to stem that cycle, we haven't had a lot of luck.
Okay. And then when you compiled all of this data, did you find anything with climate and elevation and how cheatgrass grows? Does that play a part at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that is probably in the longer term a little bit more concerning for us is that historically we figured that there's an upper limit to how high cheatgrass can grow. It gets too cold, the growing season is too short, and so that's kept it out of a lot of our forested systems for most of the last 50 to 75 years. What we found after looking at about the last 15 years of data is that that's true. There is an upper elevational limit that will keep cheatgrass from sort of moving upslope, but that once you're within that range, the place where cheatgrass tends to do the best is right at that sweet spot, right before you get to being too cold, where it's just a little bit wetter. It's not quite so hot and dry. And so you can imagine that if temperatures continue to increase, and the snow-free period in forest ends up getting shorter and shorter, that you essentially have the healthiest populations of cheatgrass standing there ready to invade those systems as the climate conditions make them more favorable. And I think considering what challenges cheatgrass already poses for wildfire management in sagebrush systems, if that starts to happen in forested systems, I think we could be in for a long road of trying to figure out how to prevent these big fires that are costing, you know, millions of dollars every year to put out and then restore after they're gone.
And you also found that grazing is a key component of cheatgrass health because cheatgrass tends to grow faster when cattle graze on the land. So when you put that into it, I mean, what would a solution look like in your mind on how we manage the cheatgrass?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I a lot of people seem to get concerned about the grazing component of this. And I think for a long time, we had sort of two views of what was going to be possible for the sagebrush. And that is, on the one hand, get rid of all the cows and maybe we might restore it. And on the other hand, just accept the fact that sagebrush as an ecosystem, not just a single species like sage grouse or pronghorn, but an entire ecosystem might be gone. And I think our results suggest that if we keep going with the status quo, it's quite possible that we are not going to be able to stop this problem. But I think there are some opportunities to think a little bit differently about how we manage livestock throughout the West. And one of the things that I've seen a few groups start to do are these what's called performance-based livestock permits. So rather than the typical way where you sort of get together in the winter and come up with a plan, and then the livestock operator has to sort of stay within the parameters of those plans. In this case, you actually write out a set of objectives and treat it almost like you would treat a forest contract, where a rancher has the ability to go out, manage their livestock as they see fit, provided
Matt,
terms.
I have to cut you off. I'm so sorry. We are running out of time. This is what happens with a live show. We've been talking with Boise State professor Matt Williamson about his research on wildfires and the invasive cheatgrass. Matt, thanks so much for chatting. I appreciate it. And you've been listening to Idaho Matters on this Monday. Thank you so much for being a part of it. And we'll see you back here tomorrow.